We're in Psalm 105 this evening. As we turn to Psalm 105, as we think about this, you know, there are a lot of psalms you may be familiar with as you think through. Psalm 1, you know, blessed is the man who walketh not. And it talks about the three things there, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Maybe Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. That may be a familiar one to you. Maybe Psalm 32 or Psalm 34 or 37, kind of some familiar ones there. Probably Psalm 23, I think most of us are familiar with that one. The Lord is my shepherd. Talking about the God is our good shepherd. Psalm 51, a psalm of David, after he had sinned and his cry of repentance. Psalm 100 is probably a pretty familiar one. Maybe Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. But without peeking, okay, I don't know if there's anyone here who could tell me, what is Psalm 105 about? That's a little more challenging. One, not one we're quite as familiar with. But in my devotions, I read this a couple weeks ago. And you know how God's living word just sometimes jumps right out at you. And that's what happened with this psalm. And so I'm excited to look at this here this evening. And we are going to cover the whole psalm, 45 verses. You say, wait a minute, how long are we going to be here? Don't worry. We're going to move kind of quickly. But the theme of this psalm and just what God has for us today, if we understand this psalm, it is going to help us so much today. Now, I'll be honest, this is a history lesson here this evening, okay? Any history lovers out there? Okay, a few of you. Any math lovers out there? All right, even more math lovers. I like that. Now, we're not going to talk math tonight. I'm a math teacher. But, yeah, I heard that. we're going to talk history tonight and learn so much here of what God has done. And having the right view of history is so critical. We see that in our country here in this day and age, how the view of history has changed. And there is so much debate on the perspective of history. And yet, you know what? We can have the same problem here looking at God's word. Do we have the right perspective of history based upon what God says here in his word? And so we're going to look at that here this evening in Psalm 105. So let's take a look here, Psalm 105. Let's read a few verses. We're going to read through the first 12 verses. And just follow along, stick with me here, think through these. Notice this, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Just think about that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. We just sang to the Lord. We sang a number of songs there this evening. And I hope you enjoyed that. My heart was encouraged just singing those songs tonight. Some great truths. Aren't you thankful for God's love that we sang about? And we can run to Christ. And this is my story. This is my song. You just think about some of the truths we sang there this evening. Notice this. Verse 3. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Look at this. Look at verse 8 here. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. You talk about the news today, right here, look at this. The promise he gave to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. We're going to talk about that here this evening. Look at this, verse 12. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved the kings for his sakes. Now, as we have this introduction here this evening, we are looking at this psalm, this song. Okay, the psalms are songs, they're prayers that people have written. Now, when we think of music, I am not any great musician, okay? I don't claim to be. Here's my musical history. I took piano lessons for 6 months, all right? That's it. My mom is a piano teacher. She just kind of stopped teaching piano lessons not too long ago. We had many kids come into our home to take lessons. My sisters took lessons. I started. We took 6 months of lessons, and we both kind of decided that was good, all right? So that's the extent of that. I'm not a great musician, but I know through music, powerful messages can be communicated. You know, how many times do we meet people? You may meet people tonight. You say, hey, how are you doing this evening? You know, how deep is that? When someone actually stops and tells you how they're really doing, kind of takes us back, right? We're used to just kind of shallow conversations, shallow introductions. But when someone pours out their heart in a song, you know, they're pouring out their soul. They are bearing their thoughts and their feelings. And that is what is taking place here. You say, well, where did this song come from? I'm glad you asked. Hold your finger here. Turn back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. This song was written for a special occasion. And it's given to us back here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So David is the king at this time. And this is a psalm of David. So David takes over as king. The Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant. And David had tried to bring that back. Only he didn't do it. He patterned his transportation after what the Philistines had done. He put it in a new cart rather than the way God had originally said. And of course, Uzzah was stricken dead there for touching the ark. Well, he later brings it back, and this is the occasion. He brings back the ark there in the chapters preceding this. And so notice the celebration here. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Look at verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. Look at that, verse 4. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, next to Zechariah and the whole list of people here. And how they played for the Lord. Look at that. They Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. All these instruments. Benaiah and also Jehaziel, the priests, with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Look at verse 7 with me. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm or this song to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph, his brethren. And if you read down through this, verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. If you look down through here, and we won't take the time to read it all again, but this is identical. This is the song that we just read. It is almost word for word identical with Psalm 105. And right up to where we read there, notice, look at this, let's go to verse 16. Even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan and the lot of your inheritance. And notice this. Look at verse 21. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. That is what we just read in Psalm 105. This is the same song. So this is where this song was introduced. Now, flip back with me to Psalm 105. So what we want to do, we want to look at four things from David's psalm here this evening. And we're going to move here kind of quickly, but notice the first thing, four things we see from David's song. Look with me in verse 14. He suffered no man to do them wrong. There's something that jumped out at me in this psalm. I want you to see God's action in this psalm. You know, it's easy when you're reading through a passage just to kind of read through it. But as I read through this, I want you to notice all the things that God did specifically that we might just look at, oh, these events happened. But no, that's the wrong view of history. What happened? God did these things specifically. Look with me here what happened here. Verse 14, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. What is this talking about? Well, remember when Abraham left his family? He was called of God to a land that God would show him. And they traveled. There were just a few of them. Abraham, Sarah, and Lot. Remember a famine came. What did Abraham do? He went down to Egypt. In spite of him going to Egypt, in spite of him asking his wife to lie about who she was because she was so beautiful. Can you imagine putting your wife in that situation? I want you to lie so they don't kill me. Okay? In spite of what Abraham did, in spite of the fact that Pharaoh's men recommended, hey, here is a young lady who is very fair, it says there in Genesis chapter 12. Not just fair, she's very fair. She's beautiful. And they commended her to Pharaoh, and he took her in. And what happened? God plagued the Egyptians because of it. And Pharaoh calls in Abraham, why didn't you tell me the truth? Hey, God's hand of protection, even in spite of Abraham. God suffered no man to hurt them. He even reproved kings, King Abimelech as well, when Abraham lied again. Look further with me. Verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Now, there are a lot of pronouns in here. Okay, we'll throw in a little English with this as well. But notice verse 21. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about Potiphar? Is he talking about Pharaoh? Or is this talking about God? He made him lord of his house, the ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators in wisdom. You know what? We see this throughout. These are the works of God. This is talking about God and what God did. Did you catch this? All the works of God. Back when Joseph was sent to Egypt. You know what? It was God that brought Jacob's family to Egypt. God called for the famine. God raised up Joseph. God sent Joseph to Potiphar's house. He allowed that. God sent him to the prison. But God raised him up. It was God that did these things. Okay, continuing on. We look further. Verse 24. So they're in Egypt. Verse 24. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He increased them. He made them stronger than their enemies. But what happened? Verse 25, he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. God caused his own people to thrive in the midst of the land of Egypt. God allowed the Egyptians to turn once Joseph had died. God allowed that. All right? He did these things. And notice what he did, verse 26. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And then it goes down, and it talks about the plagues. Look at verse 28. He sent the darkness. Verse 29, he turned the waters into blood and slew their fish. Verse 31, he spake, and there came divers sort of flies and lice in all their coasts. Verse 32, he gave them hail for rain. He smote their vines, verse 33. Verse 34, he spake and the locusts came. As I was reading through this, I'm like, whoa, all this is jumping off the pages. God did all this. All right? Now, I want you to think about this. So what is our view of history? Do we view history through the right lens? We can fast forward this to 2024. You know, what is our view of history? We can talk about elections. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to go to politics, right? We could talk about the 2020 election and we would get so many opinions here, right? Who placed President Biden in office? You say the Democrats. You say the people in Georgia or Michigan or wherever. You know who put President Biden in office? God did. I think I can stand confidently before you and tell you that here this evening. We're in the midst of an election year here, right? A lot has happened over the last few weeks. Do you know what? Relax. God is still in control. Do we have the right view of history? You see, our perspective changes everything. And we'll talk about our response pretty soon. But if you turn on the evening news, David Muir is not going to tell you this, that ultimately God set this person up or God set this person down. And yet God in his word tells us that. Do you know in Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Lester Holt is not going to report it that way. You say, oh, I watch Fox News. Fox News probably isn't going to report it that way, folks. Do we have the right perspective of history, of the history past, and of what is taking place today? You know, God sets people up. Sets people down, he raises people up. Continue on. Look at just a few other things God did here in this chapter. Verse 36, he smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Verse 37, the Exodus, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. They spoiled the richest nation on earth. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. Verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails. He brought quails and satisfied them with bread of heaven. 41, he opened the rock. 42, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Verse 43, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. First point here, this was nothing but the very hand of God at work. All right, the right perspective of history. You say, well, there are some things in history that I don't really understand. How could a loving God allow all those Jews to be killed in World War II? Do you know what? I don't have the answer to that. But did that take God by surprise? No. His chosen people, God was working. Does that mean God is not good? No. It's because of sin, right? God can still work, even through difficulties. So the second point, first of all, this was nothing but the very hand of God at work. But notice the second thing, there were difficulties. And there will be difficulties. That's the second point. You know, as we look through this passage, with Abraham, there were difficulties. There were famines. There were hardships. As we look at the life of Joseph, picture being taken by your brethren, being sold as a slave to Egypt. Picture getting to Egypt. Picture being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife when he did nothing wrong. Being cast into prison when you did nothing wrong. That's not fair. But God was working. Hey, even through the hardships. How about the children of Israel? Think of when Moses arrived. Think of their situation. They were slaves. And when Moses got there, it got worse. There were hardships. You know, I think you and I better learn from history. We're going to go through hard times. God tells us before he comes, things are going to get worse. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm not too excited about that, right? We have been so blessed and had so much freedom and lived in such a great nation. It's hard to see things disintegrating, isn't it? It's painful. It hurts. It's hard. But don't be moved. Because the second thing, there will be difficulties. But third thing, the victory will come. Hey, as we see this, what is the progression of things? Is it this direction or is it this direction? You know, God allowed the hardships. Some of those things were downward. But ultimately, God will give the victory. We know the end. We know how things are going to end. Psalm 108, verse 13, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Folks, as things may disintegrate in culture, as we turn on the Olympics and see some of the garbage that's going on in this world and the wickedness, you know what? We are getting closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose heart. We will win the victory. So do we have the right perspective? As we look at history, are we looking through the right lens? God is working. God has worked in the past and he is working today. There will be difficulties. It's okay. Even through the difficulties, it's okay. We will win the victory. And the final point is this. So what should our response be? How do we respond to things? What's the application here? Well, let's take a look in this psalm and see what we're instructed. The first thing, four responses. How should we respond? The first thing, we need to praise the Lord. Look at these first few verses. Notice what it says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Hey, this is what David was doing. This was a big celebration for them. The moving of the ark, bringing the ark back. This was a huge triumphant celebration. Hey, we have moments of celebration. We need to praise the Lord. You know what? We have moments of hardship, though. We have moments of trial. We can praise the Lord in those times as well. Did you notice it doesn't just say praise the Lord on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? You know what? We can praise the Lord tomorrow morning when we wake up. We can rejoice in him. God, you are working. Who you are. Notice this. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We can praise the Lord. A heart that is full of God will naturally praise God, will naturally magnify God and exalt him. David's heart was overflowing, and he praised the Lord. I want to challenge us. What should our response be as we look around? Let's praise the Lord. You know, if we meditate too much on 24/7 news, we are not going to be praising the Lord, folks. We're going to be worried. We're going to be burdened. We're going to be depressed. Hey, let's praise the Lord. Let's get the perspective from God's word. Notice the next thing, though. Look down just next verse there. Notice verse 3, second part. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. You know, as difficult times come, as we are going throughout our days, let's seek the Lord. We have this opportunity. Now, I don't know about you guys. Do you ever misplace your cell phone? Or am I the only one that has that disease? You know, you get home, you set it down, or you're working around the house, you said it somewhere, and it's like, and I look around, and then I always ask my wife or kids, where's my cell phone? And they all look at me like, we don't know. And so next thing, hey, go ahead and call it, please. And we listen, and sometimes it's in the car, you know, you leave it in the holder there. Sometimes, you know, and I'm not the only one with this disease. Yesterday, can I tell a little story? Yesterday, I needed my wife's cell phone for something. I needed to look something up. And so I'm like, hey, can I borrow your phone? And so I ask her, and she's like, oh, yeah, I think it's on the counter. It wasn't on the counter. So I'm like, do you know where your phone is? She's like, no. So I call it. Where was it? Okay, we had washed dishes. We had a dishcloth sitting on the counter with dishes dripping on it. It was under the dishcloth on the counter. Thankfully, it was on. But I had to seek, but I found it, right? Hey, we seek for things that are lost. When we really need them, we spend a lot of time seeking. Sometimes I misplace my keys. That's even worse than my cell phone. But you know what? We seek things out. It says, seek the Lord. Hey, do we seek the Lord, or do we just kind of casually go about our relationship with him? Notice what it says here in verses 3 and 4. Seek the Lord. The Lord invites us in the New Testament. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Draw near to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. He invites us. Are we seeking the Lord? As we turn on the news and we see the events of this world, are we seeking the Lord? I'll be honest with you. The last couple weeks are kind of trying times for us, right? I was down in D.C. We had some friends come in from Indiana on Thursday night. And we had to go down to Reagan and pick up their niece who came in, who flew in. And so we ate downtown and we walked around. She had never been to D.C. We walked up by the White House. You know, that was the day that President Netanyahu was at the White House. The barricades were multiple layers downtown there. If you turned on the news Wednesday night, all the graffiti there, the rallies, the protests down there by Union Station. We see all the things happening with politics. What's going to happen? A lot of what ifs. You know, we can fret, we can worry. You know, what if so-and-so gets in office? What if this person gets in office? What if that person gets in office? Let's not fret. Let's not worry. Let's not wonder. Let's seek the Lord. The Lord invites us to do this. He wants us to do this. Seek the Lord. Seek me. Hey, let's praise him. Number one. Number two, let's seek him. We may not understand everything. You may say, as humans, looking from our perspective, you know, one of the things we're tempted to say, if God knows what's going to happen, you know, what does it really matter? Right? It's going to happen anyway. Look at history. God had all this under control. He was orchestrating. Why does it really matter? Folks, we may not understand everything. We look at things from our perspective. But let's look at some facts from Scripture regarding that. Just think through with me. Number one, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. All right, prayer works. So let's seek the Lord and let's pray. You know, number two, God uses people. We heard this in Sunday school this morning as we had our missionary guest down in Sunday school. He talked about God uses flesh and blood. God uses people. Okay, so let's not take this approach. Even you think about when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he called him forth. Lazarus, come forth. But notice he commanded the people to loose him and to let him go. God used people, even in that, even in performing that miracle. You know, we may not understand everything, but God uses people. Let's seek him. Hey, just how God uses those who fear him, how God blesses those who fear him. We see this throughout history. Let's fear the Lord. Let's seek him. We have the opportunity to be used by God. Let's seek him. Seek his power. Seek his working. The situation today, let's seek the Lord. But notice the third thing, two other things. Let's act upon the word of God. Did you catch what this verse says? Look at verse 8 with me. Psalm 105, verse 8. He hath remembered his covenant. How long? What are the next two words there? Forever. Look at this. Another way of saying this. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. It's interesting. As we see what's taking place with Israel, God still remembers the covenant he made with Abraham back there in Genesis chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. The Abrahamic covenant, he remembers. And as we see things playing out with the nation of Israel, don't fret. God remembers his covenant today. We're not to 1,000 generations yet. He said forever. Look with me at verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise. And Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. So folks, if God did all of this and directed like this in the past, as we see things happening today, are we taking God at his word? Do we simply obey his word and take him at his word? Aren't we tempted to question, to doubt, to fear? I know I am. Maybe it's just me. But you think about this. When the plans are not clear, I was talking with someone. They're not sure what their plans are for this fall. I was just talking with someone yesterday, one of our students who's graduated. And they're still not sure. You know what? It's okay. Rest in the Lord. God knows. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 still works. Even if you don't know and it's only a few weeks away. If we seek the Lord, if we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. He promises. That's his word. We can take him at his word. The word of God is sure. When we're afraid to let go of our own lives, I was talking with some folks not too long ago. What if God would call our kids to the mission field? Are we okay with that? Are we willing to let them go? You know, sometimes we want to hold on. Oh, we want our kids to be godly, but we want to be godly close to us. You know what? Can God take care of them? Wherever he calls them, you better believe he can. Are we going to take him at his word? We wonder if God's really going to meet our needs. Let's see. My Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things might be added unto you. No. It says all these things shall be added unto you. If we take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. You know, sometimes though, things can be tight, right? Things can be difficult at times. You think of how God led the Israelites right up to the edge of the sea. It wasn't looking good. But what did he tell Moses? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Isn't it great to be able to look back over our lives? You know, we had some tight times. But to look back and see how God faithfully provided, how God has given the victory. God can be taken. Let's act upon the word of God. Can he really be trusted? Really, it comes down to this. Can we really trust God? And of course, the Sunday school answer is yes. But how about when we go about our days tomorrow and the next day? Are we really trusting God? Do we learn from history what we need to learn? God is in control. And notice the final thing. Look at the last verse here. Verse 45. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. The final thing. Hey, let's take God at his word. But the final thing, let's obey the Lord. Let's obey his statutes, his word. Let's do what he wants us to do. Let's fear the Lord. You know, as parents, we want our kids to obey us, right? When our kids are young, there are certain stipulations we put upon them. Certain things that they may not have liked at times. We had a fireplace, a good old-fashioned fireplace, wood-burning fireplace in our home. And we had some tile in front of that. And from the time Samuel was little, Samuel knew the rule. He could, when we had a fire, he could be on the carpet, but he wasn't supposed to be on the tile. And even when he was 2 years old, we had built a nice fire and we were enjoying it. And he was laying there. I was sitting there in front of the fire. We were on the carpet. And he's laying there and he's just kind of tapping his hand on the carpet. And isn't it amazing? You see your kids and you can just see what they're thinking. And he's tapping his hand there. And he looks up and smiles at me and he reaches out at his hand and he starts tapping his hand on the tile. What a stupid thing to do. But he knew the rule. Why did we make that rule? Because I didn't want Samuel to have any fun, right? No. Why? Because I loved him. I wanted to protect him. You know, when we used to leave our kids, Samuel was about 10 years older than Charity. When we first left them at home on their own, you know, you set up some rules. Charity kind of took the initiative. I guess we hadn't gone over this rule, but you shouldn't be turning on the oven while we're away, you know, when you're just young. And Charity took it upon herself to do some cooking, and nothing happened. The house didn't burn down. But you know, we made some rules. Why? We want to protect them. We love them. We want what's best for them. We set guidelines. Do you know God has set guidelines for us? He knows what's best for us. He's given us certain things to follow here in his word. God's plan is best. His way is perfect. Are we going to obey him? Are we committed to that? Or do we take the menu approach? If I like it, yeah, I'll take this if I like it. Are we committed to obeying God? The final command here, just from this passage. Once again, what are we told to do? Number one, praise the Lord. Number two, seek the Lord. Number three, let's act upon his word. His word is sure. And finally, let's obey the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do we have the right perspective of history here this evening? I want to challenge you. Read through this psalm. Read it later. I'll be honest, when I read this the other day, I had nothing marked in my Bible in Psalm 105. Now I've got it underlined, all the things that God did. Hey, it is God working. Let's have the right view of history. I pray this was an encouragement to us here this evening. I pray that this will encourage us and strengthen our faith as we go forward. Let's not fret. Let's not fear. Let's go forward by faith this week.